morning we want to talk about the one accord, and our text scripture is going to be coming from Acts chapter number 2 and verse number 1. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." They were all with one accord in one place. And as you see on the front of your bulletin or lesson, it shows you the two possibilities concerning your mind. You can have a whole lot of things going on inside of it, or you can have your mind on Jesus. But that's the only options. Either you keep your mind on Jesus, singleness of mind, sound mind, or you got a lot of things going on in your head. And all of that stuff results in what? Confusion. All of that stuff results in confusion. But here on the day of Pentecost, they had that sound mind. According to the scripture, they were all with one accord in one place. And this is a challenge that somebody say, well, as your pastor or church leader, what is the challenge? That is the challenge. Trying to make sure that people come in with the singleness of mind. Because we go through so much during the day. Life have your mind looking like that confused state. All them little people be in your head talking. You know, people of bills, people of health, people of your neighbors, your problems, all that other kind of stuff. Got to get this, got to go do that, got to pay this, got to go here, got to go there. All of that, all of them little people in your head. And all of that stuff, as the you look there, it's a confusing state. Because you don't know what face or what feeling to entertain. So many of them are coming forth in your head. But you want to clear all of that stuff out of your mind. Especially when you come into this one place, according to the scripture. That one place is a church, place of prayer. We want to seek after having the one accord. And according to the scriptures, there you can see there's a progression. Something that I can expect when the mind is all on one accord. You notice there, just a bold print in Acts chapter number 2, verse number 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So what do you see when you see that? You see an immediate response from heaven when your mind is on one accord. If all of our minds are on Jesus, we will see an immediate response from heaven. The next verse, verse number 3 in chapter 2 says, "There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them." So that scripture makes reference to when all of our minds are on one accord, there's a filling and a what? A refilling. There's a filling and a refilling. Verse number 4 confirms that. It says they were all filled with what? The Holy Ghost. And began to speak with what? Other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance or the ability to utter speech. That scripture shows us a spiritual or supernatural change happens in everybody. In other words, regardless of what is a report may say, regardless of what someone may say, Jesus will change it. Jesus has the ability to change it. And if we get our minds on one accord like we're supposed to, when we come in here, we should experience that change. And the next verse, verse number 6 says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together." You see that? Because then were confounded, because they heard that, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And that scripture makes reference to the attention of those that are on the outside. When we put our minds on Jesus like we're supposed to, We will grasp the attention of those that are on the outside. You notice they were in the upper room. Scripture says that they were in all in one place, in one accord. But after the Lord, after they heard from Jesus, after they were filled with the Holy Ghost, after they experienced supernatural change, the scripture says then those that were on the outside, it got their attention. And that's the same way with us. We want to come in such a way and put our minds on the Lord in such a way that when we go out into the community, into our homes, in the streets, that we get the attention of the people. They see Jesus in us. They feel the presence of the Lord in us. And that's true. People will do that. My mind always go back to Brother Jones. People say, well, how did Brother Jones get in this church? Because he felt something on the outside. He wasn't on the inside. He felt something on the outside. And it wasn't a whole lot of people. It was just one soul in there calling on Jesus. And that's all it took. That's all it took. If you put your mind on Jesus, Jesus will do the rest. Jesus will do the rest. He'll take care of the winning souls. He'll take care of the outreach. He'll take care of the evangelism. His spirit moves from heart to heart and from breast to breast. And the Lord know how to get in the wind and let the wind feel different on the face of somebody. And those are the things that we're looking for. Those are the things we're expecting to experience when we put our minds on Jesus. All right, now we see the effects of Pentecost, or that one accord. It means you move yourself out of the way, and then you allow Jesus to be in control. And according to the scriptures, we can see the benefit of Jesus being in the control of us as well as things that are around us. Now, that first bullet says when Jesus was in control, creation changed. Now, you'll notice there in Genesis chapter number 1, 2 through 3, if you feel like you can go over there and get it. But what it was saying is that the world was dark and it was void, right? It was dark and it was void. But when Jesus got there, the scripture says that his presence moved upon the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Creation changed. Creation went from a dark, void space to being an illuminated space. And 2 Corinthians 4:6 lets us know he commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You read that, go over there to 2 Corinthians 4:6. And let's see, Jesus changed creation, or the thing that he created.
For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness.
Yes.
Have shined in our hearts.
Yes.
To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus.
That's right. Lord bless you and I to come out of darkness. Because somebody had their mind on Jesus. Isn't that something? The prayers of the righteous availeth much. Somewhere someone had their mind on Jesus. And Jesus saw the sincerity of our heart and moved on the prayer of the righteous. Righteous prayed, said, Lord Jesus, turn that soul from darkness to light. You may not even know, they didn't even know your name. They didn't even know you may have existed. But they knew that someone out there in that world was desiring to come out of darkness into the marvelous light. And the saints, we pray for those that are in darkness, that the Lord Jesus will speak word into their life. Speak word, a word that will change them. A word that, you know, sin can't stop. Sin tries to stop, but sin can't even stop the word of Jesus. So you see what sin did in the beginning? It made the earth dark and void. Sin did that. As a result of that, Lucifer's rebellion, the scripture says that the whole creation was in judgment. All because of Lucifer's rebellion. Genesis 1:2, you can't put that on Adam and Eve. You can't put that on Adam and Eve because they weren't even created yet. They weren't created. They weren't created until after creation was finished. But you should be asking yourself, why was the earth dark and void? Because there was somebody here before Adam and Eve. Somebody here that was before Adam and Eve that didn't want to obey Jesus. name was Lucifer. And when Lucifer rebelled against the Lord judged Lucifer. The Lord judged Lucifer and judged the angelic beings that followed behind him. And realized that Lucifer's rebellion didn't just affect him, it affected creation. How do we know it affected creation? Because the scripture says that the earth was dark. The earth was dark and the earth was what? Void. Right? Now you know that that's not the spirit of the Lord. That can't be Jesus. Jesus is not a dark God. Jesus is a God of light. Right? He says, in him was light and the light was the light of men. He said, I'm the light of the world. Right? Jesus is the light of the world. And therefore, he letting you know his desire in creation is for creation to have what? Light. That's why he said when he saw that dark void world, he said, let there be what? Light. Right? And there was light. Same thing was in you and I. We were conceived in sin. Because of Adam and Eve's disobedience, all of us were born in the state or the condition of sin. But Corinthians says God commanded the light to do a shine out of darkness, right? That darkness that was in you was so thick, it was so powerful, it was in such a control, it dominated us. But Jesus said, let there be light. One thing that happened, that darkness started breaking up. We started looking at life differently than we ever looked at it before. Started having hope. When we were feeling hopeless, the Lord put hope inside of us. When we were feeling hate, misery, Lord put love down inside of us. Why? Because he spoke that word into us. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And we know he's not talking about creation in 2 Corinthians, because what does it say there? He commanded the light to shine out of darkness. What's the rest of it saying? Commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And it shined in our hearts. Isn't that something? So we know that the Lord ain't just talking about in the beginning when he said, let there be light. He's talking about our little world. He's talking about the world, us. He's talking about me. He said he saw that I was overtaken by darkness, and he commanded the light to do what? Shine. And that light did what? It shined in my heart, right? It shined in our hearts and gave us what? Knowledge. That's what darkness was trying to keep you from getting. The darkness didn't want you to know who Jesus is. The darkness didn't want you to know that you could be saved, that you could be delivered, that you can come out of that confused state. The darkness didn't want you to know that Jesus can silence all of those whispers in your mind. You know all that negative stuff that be in your head because of the things that happened to you, because of the things that you saw, because of the things and the disappointments that went on in your life. All of that stuff created a voice in your head. It created a thought in your mind. It created emotions inside of you that you did not want. But one writer said, but how to control that stuff? You couldn't find it inside of you. Therefore, you just went along with it. You said that this is life and I just got to deal with it. You became bitter, hateful, resentful, evil, wicked, cold, callous. But Jesus said, no, I have thoughts of peace for you. I want you to live different from this. I don't want you to be evil. Thank Jesus, he changed your life. Lord didn't want you to be evil. He didn't want you to be a gangster, a crook. Lord didn't want you to be that way. Lord said, I have a thought of peace for you. Therefore, I'm going to speak the word, and I want that word to get into your heart. And when it get in your heart, it give you knowledge that Jesus Christ is God, right? Now, there's not another God. Jesus is God. There's not someone else you can look for answers. Jesus is the answer. Only one that can deliver you is Jesus. Only one that can give you peace is Jesus. Only one that can encourage your heart in times of trouble is Jesus. Only one that can lift up the bowed down head is Jesus. Only one that can strengthen the weak knees is Jesus. And all of that came because the Lord commanded the light to shine out of darkness, right? Come on. Now look at that scripture there in Luke, in Mark 4:39 through 41. See how creation changes.
And he arose.
Yes, and Jesus did that. That was your life. Your life, according to Isaiah, was like a storm. Scripture said the wicked are like the troubled sea, whose waters cannot rest. Nothing come out your waters but what? Mine dirt. You're tossed to and fro. There is what? No peace, said my God to the wicked. But let's see the power of the word of Jesus. Look at the word of Jesus. The scripture says there in Mark, what did he say? He arose and he rebuked that devil inside of you. See that? You see what your mind was like in the beginning? It was confused. That devil was trying to pull you into the fire.
Yes.
Trying to drown you.
Right.
Trying to make you act out of control.
Right.
People looked at you and say, you can't even help yourself.
Right.
You are out of control.
Right.
You are on a path to death.
Yes.
But Jesus looked at that demon that was
yes.
inside of you, and he rebuked that devil.
Yes.
I thank the Lord.
Yes.
I see the demon working in a whole lot of people. I see it working, and they ain't got no control over it. You tell them you shouldn't do this, and they keep right on doing it. Why? Because the demon is in their mind. But the Lord said, I got up, and I caused that devil to stop. Jesus said, I rebuked the wind. That's right. That's why you can sit back and not praise the Lord. You can sit back and not thank the Lord if you want to. But you should find a reason to praise him. You should find a reason to be grateful to Jesus. Because you realize if it wasn't for the grace and mercy of Jesus, I would be destroyed. That's true, saints. My life was messed up without Jesus. Devil had me going all over the place. But the Lord spoke peace. He looked at that storm in my life that was raging on the inside of me. It wasn't on the outside. It was on the inside of me. It was in my mind. But the Lord looked at that storm and he rebuked it. And he said, peace, be still, right? That's what the scripture says. He spoke a word of peace into my mind. And the scripture says immediately the wind, it stopped, right? Immediately the wind stopped. Those voices stopped. Those voices in my head stopped. Kill yourself. Voice said, that is the voice said, kill yourself. You ain't got nothing to live for. Cut them. Beat them up. Steal from them, right? Punch them in the face. Come on. That's what the voices said in your head. But Jesus says, stop. Then all of a sudden, you ain't got that voice inside of you no more. Those thoughts not even in your head no more. And you say, where did they go? Jesus rebuked that devil. That devil was trying to destroy you. But Jesus rebuked that devil. And he said, peace, be still, right? That's the truth, saints. See, that's what the devil be trying to keep us from getting that one accord. He don't want us to have our sound mind. He don't want your mind to be sound. He wants you to pay attention to everything but Jesus. And that's when you got to keep on calling Jesus. You got to keep on fighting. Every time a thought come across your head that's not like the Lord, you need to say, that's not Jesus. Jesus does not want that for me. I want to be at peace. I want to have joy. I want to have love inside of me. That's what Jesus wants for me, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Devil's trying to stop the saints from getting on one accord. It's the truth, saints. All this stuff going on in the world, every time you turn on the television, people be talking about dead, shout, kill. Devil, we want you to have all that in your mind. Then you be coming into the church. It's so bad out there. But where you at? You in the church. Huh? Thank the Lord he brought you out of there. Scripture say out of gross darkness. Lord brought you out of it. You ain't walking around with just a hope in this life. You got a hope to get out of this body. You got a hope to escape out of this world of death and go into a glorified body. To be able to stand in the presence of a glorified God, right? An exalted Jesus. Jesus said, death and hell have no more dominion over us. He said, I've got the keys to both hell and death, right? That's the truth. Come on, read a little bit more.
And he said unto them.
Yes.
Wow, he's so fierce.
Yeah.
How
How is it that ye have no faith?
Yep.
And they feared exceedingly.
Yes.
They said one to another.
Yes.
What manner of man
is this?
Amen. That even the wind.
Even the wind. Ain't that what I said? Folks say you should be crazy. I never heard so much mental illness in all my life. Everybody got a mental condition. Huh? But they're looking for pills to do what only Jesus can do. Jesus is the only one that can silence all of those voices in your head. Huh? People say, well, I don't know. You don't hear no voices. But I'm talking about them thoughts you got. Them thoughts that are not like Jesus. You need to bring them thoughts under subjection to the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost give you power over all of that wrong thought. Fornicating, adultery, lasciviousness, whoremongering, idolatry. All that stuff will take you to hell. But Jesus will tell that stuff to stop. Huh? If you keep your mind on Jesus, he'll tell that stuff to stop. That's how you know it ain't like the Lord. You sing them songs like you sang today. You didn't have your mind on that sin. You had your mind on Jesus. And how you know you had your mind on Jesus? Because you felt the presence of the Lord. See, there's a value to having your mind on one accord. When you come into this church, put your mind on Jesus. As you get ready to come, put your mind on Jesus. Forget about all the foolishness. All the stuff is just a distraction. Put your mind on the Lord. Let the Lord show you a power greater than yourself, right? That's the truth. Lord can bring about significant change in your life. The Lord also can turn death to life. Huh? Look at Adam. Adam was dead. In the beginning, God formed him from the dust of the ground. He was dead. He could not move. Huh? Dead things cannot move. But Jesus breathed into him the breath of life. And Adam became a living. Aren't you glad the Lord breathed into you the breath of life? And you became a living soul. Huh? You start to move when you think about the things of life. When you put your mind on Jesus, the name of Jesus causes your body to move. That's how you know you backslide. That's how you know you on the path to death. If the name don't move you, you in a bad state. Huh? But the name of Jesus will move you. The name of Jesus will turn every dead area in your life and say, live. Huh? That's right. He'll speak to the dead and say, live. He breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. He started moving, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Look at John 11:43-44. What does that say?
It says that when he just has spoken,
yes,
he cried with a loud voice.
Yes. Isn't that the truth? Uh-huh. Lord called your name. Right. Huh? Yes. You were in dead clothes. Right. Huh? Right. Yeah, I mean, your clothes represented death. Yes. You see, these folk ain't wearing no clothes now in the street. Uh-huh. You say, Alaskar, they ain't got no clothes on. Yes, they do. But they naked. They got dead clothes on. Right. Huh? They're fully clothed from head to toe with death. Huh? Even though you see a little behind cheek, huh? You see low cleavage. You say they need to put some clothes on. I'm telling you, they dressed from head to toe. But what kind of clothes they got on? They got dead clothes on. And they need somebody to speak life. They need somebody to call them by their name. Let them know you're more than that, right? That devil's trying to devalue you. Make you think you ain't worth nothing but your skin. Your soul is too valuable, right? Jesus didn't die for your skin. He died for your soul, right? That devil wants you to die in your skin. So be so worried about your flesh that you forget about your soul. So many people that had the Holy Ghost gave up Jesus because they started paying attention to the flesh. She liked me. He touched me. All of this foolishness. But what about your soul? When Jesus filled you with the Holy Ghost, he filled your soul. He got down on the inside and quickened your mortal body, right? That's the truth, saints. That devil only wants you to worry about the flesh. He don't want you to pay attention to your soul. And you got to look at them folk that's naked in the street. Stop talking about how good they look. And realize they're fully dressed. They're fully dressed with what? The garments of death. They're fully clothed with the garments of death. You say, Elder Scott, we ain't got no clothes on. They still got clothes on. They're fully dressed with the garments of death. They're trying to stir up feelings inside of you. They're trying to wake up voices that should be silent. Look, touch, feel. Come on. You need the Lord to say, be silent. Keep your mind on Jesus. Speak peace to that stuff, Jesus. You don't want me to think about evil. Your mind can't be on Jesus when you're thinking about the flesh. Think about the mistakes David made. He lost his whole personality. He lost who he was. All because he saw a naked body. Doing something that they, you know, she normally did. Washed in seclusion. But because the palace was lifted up, he could see over everything. And instead of seeing that the woman was trying to be private, he stood there and looked at her. And when he looked at her, he didn't see a naked body. It wasn't a naked body that drew him, but it was the clothes of death. The clothes of death drew him. And it started waking up voices inside of his head. What were the voices saying? It wasn't saying you're the king. It wasn't saying you're the anointed. It wasn't saying Jesus helped you beat Goliath. It wasn't saying Jesus called you from being a shepherd to a person of a royal authority. It said go get her. Go get her by any means necessary. And sleep with her, right? The garments of death. The garments of death. That's the truth, saints. I know you may have never thought of it like that. But they're dressed from head to toe. They just wrapped up in the garments of death. And it takes Jesus to call them by the name. You want the Lord to call them by the name. I don't want to know your nickname. I don't want to know your name. I want to know what gets your attention. That's how they got so callous and so cold that they forget about their real name. And start paying attention to their nickname. The name given to them by Satan. Given to them by the devil. To identify them. To call them that that's who you are. Come on now. My name is Stephen. Lord, call Stephen out of darkness. Into the marvelous light, right? That's the true saints. You know, I know all of you might have had nicknames. Names you might have gone by. Nobody but the devil tried to give it to you to try to change your identity. But now you want to have a new name. A name that's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, don't write no nicknames in the book. Lord, don't write no nicknames in the book. He said, what is your name? He called Lazarus not by his nickname. He called him by his name. And the power. When the Lord spoke the name, he said, Lazarus, do what? Come forth. And that which was dead, it got up. It came out of the place of death. Came back to the land of the living. Isn't that what you want? You want the Lord to call your loved ones by the name. Call them by the name, Lord Jesus. Remove the stone. Remove the blockage. Give them a mind to come out of the place of death and come into the place of life. Jesus called them by their name, right? That's the truth. Lord called Lazarus by his name and said, Lazarus, do what? Come forth. He said, come forth, Lazarus. And what happened? Isn't that the truth? Isn't that you? Lord called you by your name. You were dead. In trespasses and in sin. But the Lord called you by your name. And what did he say? Come forth. You might have been broke, but the Lord said come. You might have been sick, but the Lord said come. And you got to be obedient to his voice, right? Now come on, this the scripture says it. Lazarus, he called Lazarus by his name, and Lazarus did what? He came forth. Came forth the way that he was. How was he? He was wrapped in dead clothes. Come on, is that what the scripture say?
He was bound hand and foot.
Yes. Yes, he was. Isn't that the truth? That's that the devil, I told you. He don't just care about your body. He wants your mind too. That's the importance of the one accord.
Yes.
If you never have seen the attack of Satan before, you should see it right now. You should see it and feel it right now. Every time you see the saints try to come together and get in contact with the Lord, I mean through prayer. Prayer is your line of communication with Jesus. You start seeing people itch, they start scratching, they sleep, they're dragging, but you say, well, what is it? The devil is trying to take the one accord from the saints. He knows that there's power when the saints put their minds on Jesus. You can accomplish so much if you just come in here and put your mind on Jesus, right? That's the truth, saints. You put your mind on Jesus, Jesus will make things happen. And then he'll make creation change. Meaning the things that he's created. Huh? What did he create? He created your body. Huh? Didn't the Lord make your body? Say, you know, it's kind of my body is broken up. Well, the Lord can change it. If you come in here with your mind on Jesus, the Lord can sure enough change it. Huh? I ain't see nobody. When the mind's on Jesus and we praising the Lord, I don't see nobody complaining about nothing. Huh? You say, well, Scott, I can't quite lift up my arm. Your mind ain't on Jesus like it should be. Huh? I can't quite lift up my knees. Put your mind on Jesus. You put your mind on Jesus, the Creator will speak to creation. Huh? You didn't make yourself. It is He that has made us. And now we ourselves. Creator will speak to creation. And it will tell everything that tries to hinder to stop. Huh? What did the wind do? It tried to hinder. But the Creator stood up and he said, peace, be still, right? And immediately the wind stopped, right? He will turn death to life. Huh? He will turn death to life. Lord, the Lord knows you. He knows who you are. He knows what you are going through. And he will call you by your name, right? Tell that which is trying to hold you back. You remember, Lazarus could not walk because of the grave clothes. Grave clothes had him wrapped from toe to head. Is that what the scripture says? But when Jesus called him forth, he hopped out that grave. Huh? Lord gave him the ability to hop out that grave. And then what did the Lord say? That ain't how you supposed to be moving. Loose that brother, right? Loose that brother, right? Come on, that's the truth. When you down there calling Jesus, the Lord got a language for you to speak. It's called a new tongue. Huh? And that devil tries to keep you from speaking in that language to glorify your God. That's why we tell you, keep on calling him by his name. Call Jesus by his name. And don't stop calling him till he loses you and lets you be free, right? Don't you stop calling Jesus till he loses you and lets you be free. Free from all of the whispers. Huh? Had a story about a young lady talking about she had the Holy Ghost some years ago. Talking about she got the Holy Ghost and the next day she was fighting on the train. I said, you ain't getting no Holy Ghost. There wasn't no Jesus inside of you. Had a brother, the same thing, said that he had the Holy Ghost. Next day he out there smoking, drinking, doing drugs. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. When you get the Holy Ghost, the Lord will loose you. Lord will speak over that death. That looked like you got a feeling, but you didn't get loose. You should be loose from all of that stuff, right? Lord will loose you from anger. Huh? When you get the Holy Ghost, the Lord will loose you from anger. No reason why you should be bound by that stuff. And you say you got Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. When you got the Holy Ghost, you change from unrighteous to righteous. The righteous know that their help comes through the name. The righteous know to call on the name for safety, for preservation, for healing, for soundness of mind. That's why we tell you to call Jesus, right? Nobody but the devil is trying to keep you from calling on that name.
Hallelujah.
You need to lift up that name.
Yes.
That means you got the Holy Ghost. When you say you got the Holy Ghost, that means Jesus has put his name inside of you. Jesus put his name in your brain. Huh? And he gonna leave you that quick. You got the Holy Ghost Friday night, Monday you up somewhere fighting. You ain't got no Holy Ghost. Why? How you know you got the Holy Ghost? I spoke in tongues. The devil can speak. You better make sure Jesus is in control. When Jesus is in control, he changes. The Creator changes creation, right? That's the truth, saints. He changes creation. He turns death to life. Huh? Come on, read me a little bit more. Keep me moving. What does Luke 8, 49 through 56 say? Yes.
And it says here, while he yet spake,
yes,
there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue,
yes,
saying to him, thy daughter is dead.
Yeah.
Trouble not the master.
Uh-huh.
But when Jesus heard, he
asked, what did they say? See how the devil will try to keep you from doing? You know you got a problem. You know Jesus is the only one that can fix it. That devil will try to tell you, no, don't bother Jesus. Who else you going to call? Why do you think the Lord gave us his name? Somebody say, you calling Jesus too much. What are you talking about? He gave me his name so I can call him as much as I want him, right? As much as I want the Lord, I can call him. Now it's up to me just to want him like I need to want him, right?
Thank you, Jesus.
You see that? Here it is. You have death in your house. You have death, sorrow in your house. And you can tell when somebody don't care nothing about you. Because it seems like to me, if you cared about me, you'll tell me, get to Jesus and get to him real quick. But I let you see what that world will do for you. That world don't care nothing about you. When people tell you don't come to church, they don't care nothing about you. They don't care about your well-being. The Lord know he put you here to save you. Nobody but the devil trying to keep you from here. Read a little bit more. They told him, no, don't trouble not the master.
When Jesus heard, he answered him.
That's why you can't depend on everybody hanging around the church. Everybody hanging around the church ain't got no mind to be saved. Folk will tell you, quick, it's time for service, and they got some, well, the Lord know my heart. I ain't got to go every night. What you mean you ain't got to go? What if today is the rapture? What if today is the rapture? Would you want the Lord to find you doing something other than what the saints is doing? What if today is the rapture? Don't you forget you don't know today. You don't know the hour when the Lord is coming. That's what the words say, right? That's why you got to be careful. Don't you linger around. Just because folk be around, don't you pay attention. You better pay attention to what they're saying out their mouths. If it don't line up with what's trying to help you get saved, realize what is it? It ain't nobody but the devil. Satan got control of your mind. Here I am trying to go back with Jesus when he comes, and you're trying to tell me to stop doing something that Jesus told me to do. Right?
Yeah.
It is. This fella had death in his house, and he knew Jesus could bring back the life. He knew if he was going to have any other help in the world, it got to be Jesus. Jesus could bring that person back to life. And here you got somebody hanging around Jesus. Somebody hanging around Jesus, telling you the master's too busy. Don't you trouble Jesus. That's why I said you can't go by everybody that healed.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And it says, he answered him saying, fear not, believe only and she shall be healed.
But I thank the Lord will help you.
Yeah.
If you stay sincere, the Lord will maneuver his way around every obstacle. Everybody that tries to speak poison into your mind, the Lord will maneuver his way around them and bring you the truth. Now, whether you receive it or not is on you, but the Lord will bring you the truth. Lord, help me to have my ears open that when I hear truth, I don't reject it, right? I don't want to believe a lie when I should be believing the truth. Truth is the only thing that can make you free. Free from what? Free from the whisperers. I'm free from the state of confusion, right? Only the truth can do that. Speak truth into my life, Jesus. When the Lord brings truth, you'll know it. Because it'll line up with the book. Huh? It'll go against family. It'll go against blood. It'll go against friendship. And it will bring you closer to Jesus. Y'all understand that? That's why the Lord said, when I came to bring a sword. To bring a sword between mother and daughter, father and son. What are you talking about, Jesus? I want you to have a close relationship with me. Closer than anybody else, right? That way a mother don't go, you say, Lord, save me. That way a husband and wife don't go, you say, Lord, save me. Somebody say, how can you do it without your friend? Because my relationship with Jesus is too important. That's right, my relationship with the Lord is too important. I'm not going to let you and nobody else get between me and Jesus, right? That's the truth, saint. Got to have that kind of mind, friend. Come on, read a little bit more.
And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in.
Save
Peter and James and John.
Lord, stop all the people that was following behind you. It's time to be spiritual. That's the truth, saints. It's time to put our minds on Jesus. Time to be on one accord. Some folks say, well, Elder Scudder, why did you make the decisions that you made concerning this church? Because I see too much foolishness. And I realize you can only help those that want to be helped. Every now and then you got to say enough is enough. We got to put our minds on Jesus. My soul is too important to fool around with foolishness. You don't want to be saved? There goes the door. Go out and ask the Lord to give you a mind to be saved, right? That's the truth, saints. You ain't got no mind to be saved and run for your life. This ain't the place for you. Go to one of them other places. Folks playing around, dancing around. Go over there. But you want to be somewhere where you're trying to get delivered. Stay right where you are and call on the name of Jesus. That's the truth, saints. That's why the Lord said, put the rest of them folk out. Don't let nobody else come in here. I thank the Lord. The Lord stopped the one that said the master's too busy. He stopped him. That's why I say, you hang around Jesus enough, the Lord will stop those naysayers and put them right in that place. What did the naysayers say? The Lord is too busy. The master's too busy. But thank the Lord, the Lord saw his faith. The Lord saw the sincerity of his heart. And the Lord made his way right to that brother and said, take me where they are. And when the Lord got to the door, the Lord said, don't let nobody come in here. See what the Lord will do to the naysayers? If you let Jesus deal with them, right? He will put them right on out. And then the Lord will take you to a place where you can see supernatural power. Lord Jesus, let me have the faith. Who was it that went in there? Let me have the faith that Peter had, and James had, and John had. Let me have that kind of faith. So when the Lord don't say, stay out, but the Lord say, come on in and see my power, right? Come on in and see my power, right? I want to be here when you come through with the Holy Ghost. I don't want the Lord to say, you stay home so that I can fill this soul tonight. I don't want the Lord to say that. I want the Lord to say, be here this night. Why? Because I'm going to come in the midst of my people and I'm going to fill somebody. I'm going to turn somebody from death to life because I'm under the power of Satan to my power, right? Lord, kept them all out. Lord said, don't let nobody else come in here. But just these few. And thank you, Jesus. When they got into that intimate space, the one accord, the one place, when they reached that spot, look at what they saw. He turned their sorrow into joy. He ain't looking at somebody dead, but Jesus said, stop crying. Just like he did to the wind. He said, stop. He got up and said, stop, right? That's what we do. When we see the Lord working on the soul, we just get around and say, Jesus, Jesus. Not a time for crying. Time to say, Jesus. If you see tears, it'd be tears of joy. Because you see the Lord is working.
And when the Lord is working, all we can do is just sit back and let the Lord do His work. And when we see the Lord turn the sorrow into joy, it ain't nothing to do but say, thank you, Jesus. This is what we've been waiting for, Lord Jesus. This is why we carry. Carry means to wait, right? Wait until you be endued with what? Power. From on high.
Thank you.
Lord says, stop crying. Huh? She is not dead. She's just doing what? Sleeping. Keep going.
And they laughed and
scorned.
Knowing that he was dead, she was dead. And he put them all out.
Yep. What did the Lord do? See, when the Lord bring you to a place where he's going to show you your power, you got to be careful not to let them old whisperers get in your mind. See, if they would have kept their mind on Jesus, they would have saw it. They would have saw it. But the Lord said, now, that's why I say, I had to take back what I said about Peter and John and whoever the rest of them, because that ain't the kind of faith you need. You need faith to look beyond all of the, when the Lord says stop crying, just stop crying. Huh? When the Lord says stop crying, just stop crying. Huh? When the Lord say that person ain't dead, they ain't dead. I don't care what you did. I don't care how they stink. I don't care what they look like. Lord said they not dead. They not dead. And that's enough for me, right? Keep going.
And he said, he put them all out.
Yes.
And took them by the hand.
Yes.
And called saying, nay.
Yeah.
And her spirit came
back into her body. Jesus.
And he arose straightway.
Jesus.
And he commanded to give her meat.
Yes.
And her parents were astonished.
Yeah.
But he charged them that they should.
Yes. Surely this is the kind of God that I want to serve.
Yes.
Somebody that can bring death to life.
Yes.
Huh?
Right.
Ain't nobody but the devil trying to keep you from serving a God like this.
Right.
Somebody that can bring death to life.
Yes.
Right? Is that what he did?
Yes.
Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 1. That's y'all verse to remember. And you whom he hath quickened. That word quickened means to be made alive. Who were dead. And trespasses and in what? That's the kind of God you serve, saints. Jesus turns death to what? To life. Huh? Not only that, Jesus heals all kinds of sicknesses and infirmities. Jesus not only heals them, but he also strengthens you. The Lord is your strength, right? Come on, the Lord is your strength. You don't need no more vitamins. You need Jesus. Someone's like, I need to go exercise. No, you don't. You just need some more Jesus. Jesus will strengthen your body. Huh? That's the problem. Your mind is what's weak. Your mind is weak, therefore your body is weak. But you need the Lord Jesus to strengthen my mind. That's the truth, saints. Let's just read two of those. What does Psalms 103 and 3 say? What will the Lord do for you? He'll forgive you all of your iniquities, right? He healing all, not some of them, saints. Not some of them, but all of them. He's a healer, right? Heals all your diseases, right? What's Psalms 147 and 3? Yes, he does. That's how people say, well, such and such broke your heart. You can get past it. Huh? Come on, you can get past it. Jesus will give you the strength to move on. Huh? Say, they left you today. Come on in here for prayer tonight. But they left me today. Come on in here to prayer tonight. Jesus can mend your broken heart, right? Huh? I'm not going to tell you I understand. Not when Jesus said, I'll heal your broken heart. In other words, do you want to stay in your pity party? Or do you want to get over it? I want to get over it. Right? If it's got to break my heart, I want to get over that thing. As long as we done been together, that's a whole lot of heartbreaking. But I want to get over it. If she got a mind that she don't want to live for Jesus and go find somebody else, Lord, help me to get over it quick. Right? That's the truth. Ain't no sense in me standing in no pit, no sorrow. You'll see me coming in here, son. I can't preach, saints. Because my wife of 21 years done left me. Y'all pray for me. I'm going back home. We understand. No, come, Jesus. Hey, let's go to get out of that. Lord is a healer of the broken heart, right? That's what the word says, right? I didn't say it. The word said it. Well, Psalms 147, what does it say in 3? He's the what? He's the healer of the broken heart, right? Y'all may need to hear this, right? You might know somebody that may call you with a whole lot of broken heart. We talking about such and such and such. You need to let them know Jesus can heal you. You don't need to go on another date. I need to find somebody. No, you don't. You need Jesus. Jesus can heal your broken heart. And you see him. They say, oh, I done found somebody else. My heart is back together. He going to break your heart too. You just doomed for failure. You're someone that refuses to learn the lessons of life. How many people are you going to try before you know they can't help you? Before you know it, you got a block long of houses you done been in, beds you done slept in, and your heart is still broken from one corner to the next, right? Trying them on like gums. What color do you have on today? Right? He's light, he's dark, he's Cambodian, he's Mexican. When are you going to make up your mind? Can nobody heal your broken heart but Jesus? Fat, skinny, tall, short, nobody can do it but Jesus. How are you looking for people to do something only Jesus can do? Scripture says he's the one that does what? Heals the broken heart, right? That's the scripture, right? Read a little bit more. Is that all of it, 47 and 3? All right, Isaiah 1 and 18.
Come now,
let us do what? Reason. And this will tie me into the next section over there. Got to get ready to let y'all go. You see, it's only one call, but you can respond two different ways. Jesus says the call is to do what? Come now. And do what? Let us do what? Reason together, saith the Lord. And look at what he says there, the significant change that he can make in your life. He can turn your what? Your scarlet into white as snow. Your crimson into like what? Wool. That's the change, the creative change that Jesus can make. But you see the two responses? You can either be what? Willing and obedient, or you can refuse and rebel. One call, two answers. And you got to ask yourself, how am I going to answer Jesus today? Right? Are you going to be what? Willing, obedient? Or are you going to do what? Refuse? And remember, don't you be stubborn like that mule. You see that mule in your paper? He's a stubborn mule. That man is frustrated because he wants that mule to go. And that mule said, not today, right? You don't want to be that way with Jesus, do you? Jesus is telling you to come, right? And you say, Lord, not today. I got too much I got to do. So you see what willing and obedient looks like in Luke chapter number 5, 4 through 7. This is what Jesus tells the disciples to go back out there into the deep and let down your nets. Launch out one more time. And they said, Lord, we done did it all day and caught nothing. But he said, nevertheless, at your word, we gonna move. That's what you call willing and obedient. Willing means it goes against your expectations. Goes against your expectations. Sometimes I love to even see the saints move in that spirit. A spirit of what? Willingness and obedience. Because you reap the benefit. Y'all understand that? Look at the benefit that they got when they were willing and obedient. The scripture said they caught more fish than they could handle. They caught so much fish it started sinking their boat. All because they moved in a spirit of willingness and obedience. But don't you look to be blessed when you refuse and rebel. You got that rebel mentality? You refuse to do what the Lord's word say. There's a scripture to break it down for you. That's in Luke chapter number 14, 16 through 24. When the Lord made that great supper. And the Lord bade many to come. And the scripture said they with all one consent made excuses. And the Lord said at the end, none of those that I invited to come will be able to taste of this. Right? And they're going to be beat. Right? That's something you got to think about, saints. You're going to make life harder when you have a rebel mentality, when you refuse and rebel against Jesus. We have to understand that everybody has to do their part. Notice what the scripture says about the one accord, these all. You see in Acts chapter number 1 and 14, nobody can be out. 99 and a half cannot do. Everybody has to have their mind on Jesus for this to work, right? Acts 1 and 14 says, these all with one accord continue steadfastly in prayer. Everybody has to do it. Acts chapter number 2 and 46 says this is a daily practice. This is a daily goal, a daily objective, day by day, continually steadfastly, with gladness and singleness of what? Of the heart. That's what the one accord looked like. Acts chapter number 4 and 24, it says, they, when they heard it, lifted up their voice to Jesus. Everybody has to participate. All right? You can't be over in the corner doing your own thing. Everybody has to participate. All right? It's not going to work if people say, I'm going to do my own thing. Lord going to say, I can't work with you all yet until you get your minds together. That's why they waited for how long? 10 days. When the scripture says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all what? With one accord in one place. And that's when they saw something extraordinary happen. Now on the back, I'm not going to go into all of this just because of the time. But I want you to see this. The one accord is really seen. If you don't understand Acts chapter number 2, you really should be able to see it physically. In the ability of people to bring things together and work in the wall building in Nehemiah. In Nehemiah, Nehemiah had a desire to go back and build up the torn down walls at Jerusalem. And according to the scripture, I like the way that they broke it down in chapter number 4, chapter number 5, and chapter number 6. Because it gives you the illustration of like a race. There's a start, and then there's a middle part, and then there's a finish. And that's you and I. If we want to see the Lord build us up, we have to realize we've got to start. We got to act out on what is right. We know something is right, you need to act out on that right mind. You notice what Nehemiah said. He knew it was right for Jerusalem's walls to be built. It was no reason for them to be laying in an enemy's palace and letting their own home lie down in waste. Because remember, Jerusalem was given to them by the Lord. And it was took love and compassion for home for him to go back and say, I cannot be at peace as long as Jerusalem is torn down. And you notice what he said there in the bold print. He said, let us rise up and do what? And build. So they strengthened their hands for this what? For this good work. Now, when you have that kind of a mind frame, just because you have a mind frame to do what's right, don't think people are going to be for you. He faced many objections. Many people opposed his work. But he kept a productive mind. All throughout that whole process, he kept a productive mind. As you notice there in Nehemiah 4 and 6, it says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof. Why? Because the people had a mind to do what? They had a mind to work. They had a mind to work. And this is what we're striving to do, is get your minds right, saints. Let's get a mind to do what? Work. Work for the Lord. Okay? Work for the Lord. You don't go wrong when you work for Jesus. Now, doing your own home studies, you definitely can go through and read the different oppositions as well as how Nehemiah overcame those oppositions. How did they overcome those oppositions? I'm not telling you that stuff is not going to come before you and try to stop you from working. Okay, that's the devil that comes before you and tries to stop you from working. But you got to keep doing what's right. Okay? And you notice the finish. This is the goal. To say, I've done what is right. You notice in Nehemiah chapter number 6, 15 to 16, just the bold print, the scripture says, so the wall was what? So the wall was finished. You say that, and down the bottom it says, this work was wrought of our God. Jesus will help you do the work if you keep your mind on him, okay? that Jesus will help you do the work if you keep your mind on him. And that this was not an overnight process. It took them 52 days to build that wall. Okay?
Yes.
52 days to build that wall. But they did it.
Right.
Why is it set in the middle? Because the people had a mind to work. All right?
Yes.
So let's make sure, saints, we tap into that one accord and fight against everything that tries to prevent it from happening. Let's strive to fight against it. From everything that tries to prevent us from having our minds on Jesus. Why? Because we come in here so we can see the power of the Lord. Alright?
Yes.
Trust y'all got something out the word. Hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against Jesus.
Yes.
We definitely want to continue to pray that the Lord will keep